You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's every other Thursday, which means we're joined by the brilliant Adele Musso, all the way from Munster, Germany. How you doing, Adele?
I'm happy and confident to be back.
Good. And we are doing Subversity Science Roundup. We've got lots of good topics to cover, which include the linkage between dairy and diabetes. Do statin drugs make you fat? And lots of other things, including an article that was sent to us from Sarah Davis. She sent it to both Adele and I think, at the same time. Why eating clean is a myth. I want to talk about that as well. I think it's really an interesting article. What's new with you, Adele? Have you been training? What's going on?
Well, I've been training as usual. Oh, actually not, because I'm pretty busy at the moment. So my workouts are getting shorter and shorter. Currently, I'm training, or I'm in and out of the gym usually within 30 minutes, unless I meet someone and actually do some cardio afterwards.
Right.
But the real strength training sessions are pretty short, but still intense and especially dense. So this means I do probably about as much sets within a workout as many of the other trainees when they are there for a whole hour.
Right, right. And
up to now, it's working quite fine.
I was just going to say, are you seeing a good response anyway?
For me personally, I feel that, at least in the current situation, this really works very well, because it is, for me, it's better to go more frequently to the gym than just to train only two times or three times a week. Now I'm currently training on a four-time split, and just be there briefly and hit it intense and leave the gym energized, not totally blasted, which is often the case when I have too much time at my disposal and stay in the gym for a whole hour.
Did you happen to see my hip thrust video?
Yeah, I did see it.
And it caused a lot of commentary about whether or not I was doing partial reps, half reps, and so on and so forth. And I think it was amusing, because all of a sudden a lot of people have said, I've never seen the hip thrust before. I didn't know that's what it was.
Yeah, I know. Many people don't really know what it is. I've also had people thinking that this is something like a rack deadlift, where you thrust your hip forward and bend your back. So it's actually that not many people really know how it's working. And I think it's technically not really easy, especially with the amount of weight you're handling.
Yeah, and that's another thing. When you start getting into the heavier weights, once I get above 405, it becomes increasingly more difficult for me to handle the weight, keep the weight balanced properly, because obviously even a half inch off center in either direction causes the bar to want to tilt. So there's a lot of concentration that goes into it, never mind just moving my hips. Someone asked the question if this was any – why not just do good mornings? And this is nothing like a good morning, and I can tell you that because I've done good mornings for a long time. Good mornings may enlist the glutes, but they enlist the hamstrings and lower back to a greater degree. This movement, you're really just statically holding the legs locked, and the movement is entirely dependent on the hips and the glutes working together and nothing else.
So. Yeah, and maybe also on the doing partial reps or incomplete reps. On many exercises, it may not be that important as people think to go over the full range of motion, as long as you hit the point where you really strain the muscle. And this is usually in the mid-range, and I think it is also this is also the case for the hip thrust. So if you don't go all the way, this doesn't mean that it's useless because of that.
Well, and I can attest to that because the day after and today, my glutes are completely hammered. I mean, I have a hard time sitting down. They're painful when I walk. So clearly, while I may not have executed the movement to standards that people were looking for, my glutes absolutely got a workout. So
certainly, yeah.
Anyway,
I can't imagine.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to step on you.
I can't imagine that just by looking at the video.
Yeah. Okay, and one other thing I wanted to mention. So several people have taken up the gauntlet that I have shared with them about my new template about fasted training followed by a huge meal. Sometimes 70 to 80% of your total caloric intake for the day immediately after working out, and then maybe a small meal or two throughout the day, but really nothing of consequence. And the results is very similar to mine. We're going to talk about it on Casual Friday some more tomorrow. But several people have messaged me saying, I've been doing it. My belly fat is disappearing. I am becoming stronger and more muscular. I would have never thought it could happen.
Yeah, I would ask all those people to really count their calories. I bet that they are eating less than before.
Yes, and I agree.
They
I agree.
Are binging after the workout.
Yes, I agree, because you can only eat so much in a single meal, let's face
yeah.
it. Okay, so let's get on to a subject that's a favorite of mine, and that is dairy. So there's some new meta-analysis out there that looks at dairy consumption and diabetes risk. What's it all about, Adele?
Yeah, that's actually a pretty large study or large-scale meta-analysis, which includes 17 cohort studies, and 7 of them were from the States, 6 from Europe, 2 from Asia, and 2 from Australia. And what is quite funny is that the study from Australia is actually quite an outlier with a risk reduction for diabetes of 38%. It is among the studies with the most beneficial outcome. And if you look at the general effect, then there is still a risk decrease and a significant one of at least 9% overall for, unfortunately, I must say, low-fat dairy. And you get those 9% decrease per 200 grams of dairy consumption a day. That means you could double that if you actually drank 400 grams of 400 grams of milk or yogurt or other dairy products. And if you look at the differences between what works and what doesn't work, it's quite interesting that this linear effect is actually only present with skim milk.
Huh.
And the scientists obviously do not really see a need to comment on why this could be the case, because it's quite obvious, must be all the bad fat that's in there. But I have written about milk and the different effects of high-fat and low-fat milk already in the past. And you may remember we have been talking about this recent study by Denon that showed that a new formula with larger fat droplets had a major beneficial effect
right.
on the kids.
Right.
And I don't know how the practice in the U.S. is, but here in Germany, usually the milk or the standard milk, if you don't buy the fresh one, it's homogenized. And homogenization means that you filter all the big fluffy fat particles out because you don't want them to form this this layer on top of the milk.
Right.
People all hate this fatty layer on top of their milk. And if you think about the profound beneficial effects it has to have those large fat droplets, those original ones, in the formula, you could, on the other hand, speculate that it may have negative effects if you have a very high amount of those small scale fat globulins in your homogenized milk.
Right, and which let's be clear about something for people who don't understand what the homogenization process is. They take the milk fat and they put it through a molecular sieve that breaks the fat down. It ruptures the fat so that the fat can no longer coagulate like fat is designed to do. And so this denatures the fat. Everybody likes to talk about denatured protein, but this denatures the fat, and it's been long postulated, going all the way back to Weston A. Price and Dr. Francis Pottinger, that the body does not do well with this broken fat.
Yeah, in fact, you could argue that that this is something like the small molecules being able to go where the large can't go before the body processes them.
Uh-huh.
This is one of the hypotheses to explain the differences. On the other hand, you could also argue that obviously the larger fat globules will be able or may even hold certain nutrients or other things that won't get delivered when they are destroyed before you ingest the milk. So this could be a factor that explains the higher benefits or the greater benefits from consuming low-fat dairy. On the other hand, it must be said that there is no increase in diabetes risk if you consume high-fat dairy. There's just not a significant decrease in diabetes risk with high-fat dairy.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. So now what about the amino acid profiles? You put something in the email to me that intrigued me, that I was unaware of. But you also said that amino acid profiles of dairy, well, you know what? We have to take a break. Okay, here's what we're going to do. When we come back from the break, Adele, can we talk about the amino acid profile of dairy products? The fatty acids based on the feeds, but based on the feeds that the cow is being given. So let's do this. This is the Subversity Science Roundup. You should be visiting Subversity every day, SUPPVERSITY.com, because Adele Moussa puts an amazing amount of energy into producing the most well-thought-out, most highly communicative research information about everything you're interested in. And you can find it all at Subversity.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
He's asking the hard questions.
Where are the convictions for the drugs that are being used right now that are killing people?
The government is too afraid to answer.
You see all the attorneys, hey, if you develop cancer after taking this supplement, call our law office because we got a class action suit coming together.
Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On Superhuman Radio.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wise Choice Medicine. CanSeeMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Okay, go on.
Take two.
I got 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome back to Subversity Science Roundup. Okay, so let's talk about fatty acid composition for a second based on the feed that the cow is getting. How is that influenced and why is it important to us?
Well, the one hypothesis was the particle size could matter, but obviously the type of fat you have in the milk can also be significant effects. And if you look at the major impact of different fatty acid sources in the diets of the dairy cattle, you will see that this will have direct effects on the omega 6 to omega 3 ratio you will get in your milk. And for the average cow, so to say, on a standard diet, this would be about 5 to 1. So 5 grams of omega 6 per 1 gram of omega 3. And if the same cows get fed on or are fed a diet that contains full fat soy as a main dietary oil source, the ratio increases from 5 to 1 to 7 to 1. And interestingly, this happens in the presence of an increase in both omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids. So you get even more polyunsaturated fat, which is not necessarily a friend of, or is not necessarily associated with highly beneficial effects on diabetes risk, although you usually will hear that it is saturated fat that causes diabetes, but in the end, the jury is really still out there, and there are even studies that are suggesting that omega-3 fatty acids have at best a neutral, if not a slightly detrimental effect in the long term as far as the diabetes risk is concerned. So,
the whole idea of fat, I always thought that fat slowed the... I guess I'm confused, and rightfully so. What is actually causing this spike in insulin? Is it the presence of the lactose? Is it the or is it the fat? But it doesn't seem to be either of these or both of them rather.
Actually, milk is designed to increase insulin and to increase the IGF-1 production because. In the time you usually consume milk, which is when you grow, you really need this. And it's in the end for us adults, it's a combination of all three ingredients because the protein, we know that whey protein spikes insulin. The sugar, although lactose is not exactly a high GI sugar, or at least not the highest, it will also contribute to that. And the long-thought myth of fat buffering and insulin increase is actually totally false. This means when you consume fat with a meal that's high in carbohydrates, you will increase the total amount of insulin your body will produce, not decrease it.
Okay. All right, so now let's talk about another component. This has been asked to me several times. Whenever I talk about raw and pasteurized milk, there's inevitably someone sends me an email and says, Carl, I can't believe you drink raw and pasteurized milk. It's high in estrogen. And and this is true because it also is high in creatine. It's high in DHEA. It's high in androstenedione. It's high in a lot of these hormones that the baby is not producing on their own, and the mother is supplying to kind of launch the baby. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, it's in raw milk and in butter, and the more fat there is in the dairy product you consume, the more estrogen will be in it. And the highest of the standard dairy foods we consume is actually butter, which has up to 82 picograms per milliliter. And we will still have to put this into perspective in order to understand that this is probably still not really a problem. Because even if you are a man, you will have an estrogen level, and this is just estradiol, that is between 50 and 200 picograms per milliliter. So if you ingest, if you do not consume the butter and do the very simplistic mathematical calculation that you would actually extract all the estrogen that is in the butter and it would start floating around in your bloodstream, this would still not make a real difference. You would maybe go up 10% within the normal range at best. And it's totally unrealistic to assume that all the estrogen that is present in the butter will end up in your bloodstream. So this is really not a problem, at least.
Well, let's talk about something else. So all hormones, including estrogen, they have transient levels because the liver has receptors that are designed to help flush excess levels out because the body's always trying to maintain a narrow margin of change in the estrogen. So I would imagine that like anybody who's taking even an unmethylated estrogen capsule, it hits the bloodstream. Its half-life is maybe 8 hours, and then it disappears.
Yeah, firstly that, and I don't think that much of it will even make it into the bloodstream. So it really is not such a problem, and it has never actually been shown. But still, there is still speculation about whether there might be an effect, because a recent study that has been published only a couple of days ago found that in roughly 40,000 participants of the Nurses' Health study, the women who consumed more servings of dairy per day got into menopause later. Now, the interesting thing is that we are again talking about low-fat dairy, and low-fat dairy is lower in estrogen.
Right.
So all the hypotheses, at least in my opinion, that this is related to milk, and if it's related to milk, it cannot really be the estrogen content. It's much more likely that it's the same effect I've mentioned before, which is the increase in insulin and IGF-1, because this is actually something that would be declining with age and with menopause. And this is also something that has already been implicated in the ever earlier in girls getting ever earlier into puberty. That our current diet, which is pro-anabolic, so to say,
right,
and has a high amount of protein, and especially dairy products with their effect on IGF-1 and insulin, that they contribute to this shift in puberty. Which is, I think it's estimated to be about 1 or 1.5 years meanwhile.
So, okay, so, but there's an important underlying discussion that has to occur here, and that is that being in an anabolic state or eating foods that seem to be pro-anabolic is not necessarily a bad thing. It is a bad thing. It is a bad thing if you have problems in your body, if you have chronic inflammation and you have cells that are replicating in mutated states, then obviously you don't want those to grow faster. But if you're healthy, then being in an anabolic state is a good thing because the body is repairing.
Well, that's not really correct, because the understanding of anabolic is actually a continuous activation of the mTOR side of the AMP kinase on the left hand side and mTOR on the right hand side seesaw. That means when you're anabolic 24 hours for all the year, you won't actually do the sort of repair where you actually catabolize defect protein, and this will only happen when you get the you give the other hand the other side also its right. And actually, this is one of the major benefits of intermittent fasting and also of caloric reduction, that this recycling system, which will only be working when you are not constantly feeding yourself with anabolic milk proteins or anabolic milk or whatever, that this side of the metabolism also gets into its right.
Right.
And this is actually something where I must concur that it is one of the main reasons I would never suggest to really eat so frequently that you never go fasted, quote unquote, because you're always in a post-absorptive state, still digesting what you just ate.
Interesting. I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the potential relevance for milk and cancers, because obviously, when we start talking about IGF-1, one of the first discussions about IGF-1 is that in cancer therapies, lots of them are designed to suppress IGF-1. So we'll talk about that linkage. We're talking with Adel Moussa. This is the Subversity Science Roundup. You don't have to wait for every other Thursday to be touched by the brilliance of Adel Moussa. You can go to subversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com to learn more. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's your personal watchdog.
Is anyone awake up at Capitol Hill?
Sniffing out the corruption in our healthcare policies.
You are literally selling the population of this wonderful country to a death sentence.
He's Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On the Superhuman Radio Network.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail, 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
New from Rob Regish. Purchase the Blueprint 3.0 today and lock in your free 3-month subscription to the Blueprint Bulletin. Find out what many in the BP Army already know. This is the best investment they've ever made. Includes the free Superhuman University, add 1 inch to your upper arms course, and 3 months of Blueprint Bulletin secrets to up your game. Click the Blueprint banner ad today or go to bodybuildingsupplements.com and purchase your ticket to Gainesville in the fast lane.
You basically live life thanks to vitamin D. It affects every type of cell and tissue in your body. This is the reason optimizing your vitamin D blood level is essential for healthy living. The most efficient way to optimize your blood level is to take the perfect dose. And the most cost-effective way to determine the perfect dose is through vitamin D blood testing. The vitamin D test for Superhuman Radio is only $30, $17 cheaper than the lowest member price. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to order. People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Right process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. So we're still talking about dairy for a little while longer. Then we're going to talk about statin drugs and their linkage to weight gain. Part of the diabetes model, perhaps. Okay, so when we start discussing IGF-1, we can't ignore the fact that IGF-1 has been implicated in development of cancers, or the progression of cancers and tumors. And you and I have talked about this in the past, that it's actually a yin and yang, that not only is it potentiate growth, but it also suppresses oxidative stress and reactive oxygen species, which both adds fuel to the fire as well. So is dairy a bad idea from a cancer perspective?
Well, that's difficult to say, because in general, of course, it can be problematic, and there is good evidence that there is a certain phase, for example, in prostate cancer, where the cancer really depends on the activation of mTOR and on IGF-1. But this is a phase where the cell is already cancerous, so to say, and it only starts to spread. And if you look at the current research, you will actually find that most of the meta-analyses show no real effect in there as far as certain types of cancer, especially those in the gastrointestinal tract are concerned. It appears as if dairy products had an ameliorative effect, so they protect against cancer. And this could probably be due to the modulatory effect of dairy, and especially fermented dairy products, on the gut microbiome. So at least in this perspective, or at least as far as these cancers are concerned, you have to discard the possible negatives, or you have to waive the possible negative effects due to the anabolism, so to say, and the other things you get with dairy, which appear to be highly beneficial. And the latest meta-analysis of prospective cohort studies on the risk increase in breast cancer with dairy also says that there is actually presently no evidence that dairy consumption would be associated with an increase in breast cancer risk.
Wow, that's impressive. You know, you would think that because I remember back in the day reading studies that just drinking milk by itself raised IGF-1 levels in individuals. And this was always my argument for doctors who want to assess growth hormone levels in their patients by looking at IGF-1. And I say, look, you can have no growth hormone in your body and still have high IGF-1 levels because of your diet.
Yeah. This study from China, this meta-analysis I just mentioned, that's from 2011. And it actually says that with the exception of milk, which has no effect, total dairy intake may be associated with a reduced risk of breast cancer. And again, this could be total dairy intake, including fermented dairy, where we are really still at an infancy as far as our understanding of the effects of fermented dairy products on our gut microbiome and, in turn, on our overall health.
Yeah, very, very interesting. So, in summary, dairy, the type of dairy that people are buying at the grocery store with homogenized fat clearly is linked, and especially the skim version, is linked to increasing the risk of diabetes, correct?
No, that's exactly not correct.
Oh, I'm
because
sorry.
In the skim version, you obviously have no fat.
Okay.
So you don't have a problem if you just have those few little fat globules. So even if it is really the homogenization process, then this would also explain why it's only the high fat dairy you buy at the supermarket that is a problem.
Okay. All right.
It is not a problem. It just doesn't decrease the risk. So even that is not really necessarily a reason to be concerned. If you drink the regular high-fat dairy, you just don't get the same beneficial effects in terms of a reduction.
Okay. And then, as far as cancer goes, there does not seem to be any conclusive evidence that dairy increases the risk of the cancers that they studied, especially breast cancer, right?
Breast cancer and prostate cancer the same.
Okay, and then lastly, for those out there who have emailed me over the years implying that my drinking of raw dairy is dangerous because of the estrogen contained in it, this you feel also is inconsequential?
Yeah, it is. And even if you're drinking colostrum, or I'm not sure how much estrogen is in cow's colostrum, but in human colostrum it's about 10 times more than in butter. And even that would be, with our previous calculation, would only raise your estrogen levels to the top. And assuming you drink 1 or 2 liters of it every day and you absorb all the estrogen that's in it, you would only end up right at the top if all the estrogen ended up in your bloodstream.
And there's also something to be said for the fact that the fear of estrogen seems to be unwarranted, at least from the standpoint of some of the research you've done and talked about on the show months and months ago, that, you know, estrogen actually may enable people to lose body fat. And we know that estrogen possesses some neuroprotective value. So this notion that anything that raises estrogen by in and of itself is not is dangerous is not necessarily true either, right?
Yeah, and it's mostly, or it's just as in most of the cases, it's about the ratios. You're really in trouble when you have high estrogen and low progesterone and low testosterone, because the offset in the ratios, that makes all the difference. If you have very high testosterone levels, you better have also some estrogen floating around, because otherwise it's not good for your heart and not good for your brain as well. So there's always... you will always have to hit the right balance, and this is actually where we still are not very far in our understanding what the exact optimal balance would be. But whenever you go overboard on one of the sides, you see detrimental effects.
And this is another reason why, for those out there who use aromatizing androgens, many times a doctor will just simply prescribe an aromatase inhibitor along with their testosterone. I think this is a mistake. And I believe like you believe, and I've said this a long, long time ago, I think the magic is in the ratios, not in the levels. If you are taking superphysiological doses of testosterone and you're raising your testosterone levels into the stratosphere, you know, where it's virtually unreadable, and then your estradiol is 134, and then people go, oh, that's too high. You know, you got to keep it down below 30 or 40. And I say, that's ridiculous. That's not natural. The body is adjusting these ratios accordingly for a reason. And
I think below 30 would even be detrimental for a normal guy.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, when you look at the assays for most tests, and they don't use high sensitivity tests, so a lot of times they're off. For a man, it's 0 to like 34 or 0 to 46. So they would even accept zero estrogen in a man as being okay. Think about that.
Yeah, I think that really depends on the assay you use. Because the standard assay basically detects only if you're totally off. And this is a problem. But what really is also a problem, and what people often do not notice is, or actually they notice it, but many won't realize it, That estrogen, or at least a certain amount of estrogen, is as important for your libido as testosterone.
That's right.
And this is also why very potent over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors like ATD, they will kill your libido in no time when you're taking more than 50 milligrams per day.
That's right. That's absolutely right. So don't hate estrogen just for the sake of hating estrogen. Understand that it has a value, it has an importance. And if you are getting some from your diet, assuming it's not some sort of phytoform or xenoform of estrogen, that the body knows what to do with it and how to get it out of the body. So that's another part of the discussion. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to change the subject matter. And this is going to be really important to those of you out there who have parents or even if yourself are on a statin drug. It's an important discussion because the obesogenic model is killing this country. You're listening to Subversity Science Roundup. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is one of those things I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to go, oh, damn, this didn't work out right.
He's serving up an all-you-can-eat buffet of brain food.
It's gotten worse for us who are overweight because we're now paying our fair share for things that we didn't have to before.
Get it while it's hot.
The fact that there's only 50% of the population is obese, that means the other 50% is doing something different.
You're listening to your daily dose of wisdom. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The advanced 7 keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Electronic muscle stimulation is state-of-the-art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need. Small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial-grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest Bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Subversity Science Roundup with Adele Moussa. Okay, so now the discussion changes slightly to another very, very popular product that we see in society today, and that is the single best-selling pharmaceutical today is statin drugs, cholestatin drugs, that suppress the production of cholesterol. We know that they've been linked to a lot of other undesirable side effects, but this may be a new one that I was not aware of, Adele. So let's start off at the beginning. What evidence is there that you found that these statin drugs may actually perpetuate the obesity model?
Well, the specific results of this study I actually knew, but we have already suspected for a couple of years that there may be a connection between the being subscribed, getting a subscription for a statin and developing type 2 diabetes. So at the same time, or while they may reduce your cholesterol levels, and in certain populations they also really efficiently reduce the cardiovascular disease risk, there appears to be an increased risk of developing type 2 diabetes of roughly 9%. This is the result of a 2010 study that was published in Lancet, and it compared a couple of larger scale studies, most of which showed an increase in diabetes risk, which ranged from let me take a look. The greatest risk increase was 32% in one of those studies. So there appears to be a certain link with metabolic dysregulation that may be caused by the reduction in cholesterol or by any other indirect side effects of the statins. And a very recent rodent study actually tried to find out what really happens when you administer statins. And they used the rodent model of diet induced obesity, and this is pretty interesting because this factor is different, or this is something that is different from previous trials. They did not continue feeding a high-fat diet to the rodents, but did actually what a doctor would suspect or what would hope their patients do, which is to switch to a low-fat diet. At least for a rodent, this is also the appropriate way to eat. And the results are therefore different from previous studies. In previous studies, we often saw that the concurrent administration of statins with the high-fat diet had either no effect on body fat, or it even ameliorated the increase in body fat. In this specific study, however, there was a significant increase in subcutaneous body fat with almost all of the statins. So these include Crestor, Lipitor, Lascol, and Mivacor, and those are basically the most prescribed statins on the market. And this is also interesting because the bad visceral fat, on the other hand, did not really change in response to the administration of the statins. That means one way the statin may help you to reduce your blood fat levels, but it does so by depositing.
I was just going to say, by getting it out of the blood and storing it somewhere.
Yeah, and we already know another drug that does, or another type of drug that does this. Those are the
glucose disposal agents, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and keep in mind that most of the population out there are getting both some sort of glucose disposal agent like metformin and a statin drug simultaneously. So it's like they got the double whammy.
Well, metformin is actually an exception to this rule because it works by a different mechanism. But those which are working actually on the PPAR pathway, most of them will increase the storage or will allow the body to store more energy as fat, and therefore and thus will reduce the blood glucose levels. And in this case, or in both cases, also in the statins and in this particular rodent study, they found that the synthesis of new fatty acids was increased and the storage of already formed triglycerides in the fat tissue was also increased. So this was a direct mechanistic effect of which the scientists do unfortunately not really know how it is induced by those drugs. And interestingly, there is one statin, which is the ingredient in Crestor, that had also a direct effect on the liver, where it caused a non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
Wow.
In the animal. Now, a problem with the study is that it was A, a rodent study, and B, that the dosage was not exactly identical to the one you will find in the statins. I don't know if people are familiar with that, but all of them have very different potencies.
Right.
So you could maybe take 10 times the amount in milligrams for one statin and achieve the same effect as you get with a more powerful one if you take only one times the amount. And in this particular study, because we do not really have the rodent data, we do on human beings, or the corresponding values, the scientists argue that this is certainly a weakness of their study because they cannot say if the exact same effects occur with the real human equivalent dosage most patients ingest.
What do you suspect?
I think that the tendency will probably be there, but we do have the evidence for diabetes risk, which is also higher the higher dose and the more potent the statin
right.
is you're taking. So I would suspect that the general mechanism is definitely there. I would not say that it's necessarily the case that everybody taking a statin drug will get fat. And I must also say that statins in general may have their place in the treatment of metabolic disorders. But I think that the current way they are prescribed is like, take this pill, go home and be happy. And this is certainly not going to help because there is an underlying reason for 99% of the people requiring a statin that is not just genetically, but also comes from their dietary and the rest of their lifestyle habits. And as long as you're not working on those, simply throwing ever-increasing dosages of statins at you is not going to help, particularly if those statins increase the factors that originally brought about the problems with the lipid management, which is obesity and insulin resistance.
It's shocking to me. And you know, there's another aspect of this that we're not discussing, but it has been linked to the potential for dementia in individuals who use statin drugs, as well as congestive heart failure. And that is that these statin drugs suppress the natural biogenesis of CoQ10. And we know that has a direct effect on the mitochondria, which then has a direct effect on energy consumption on a cellular level. And that goes right down the line. So, I mean, once again, we have, you know, various pathways that these statin drugs could be affecting people. But as you point out, like, and this is my new mantra, believe it or not. So I was at the Ancestral Health Symposium, and, you know, a lot of people at the Ancestral Health Symposium had such brilliant discussions. But one of the things we have to be careful of running the risk of is becoming like the pharmaceutical industry and saying, well, this works for everyone. And we need to discuss specificity in everything that we talk about. And like true scientists, like Adele Moussa, true scientists who engage in rigorous discussion about science, they never make statements affirmatively. Because they know they're going to eat their lunch a year, 2 years, or even a month later when some research contradicts what they've learned. So what we could say is that in some portion of the population, these statin drugs may promote additional fat storage. Is it going to do it to everybody? Maybe not, because lifestyles play a difference. Maybe they're more active and those free fatty acids are getting used up more. Maybe they're more, you know, something genetic that is allowing them not to store that fat. But in those who are seeing fat accumulate after being put on high doses of statin drugs, beware. Would you agree with that statement, Adele?
Certainly, yeah. And especially the more recent findings on the influence of or on the differences in all forms of cholesterol and how they work and function. Also, in terms of HDL, for example, there is good and better HDL, and there even is evidence that some forms of HDL are not beneficial at all. So in the end, what really is emerging in the past couple of years is that our diagnostic system is pretty off. And the way statins prescribed on the basis of the standard lab tests may not really be adequate in terms of being able to judge who really needs a statin or who would be much better off with just the lifestyle modification, which is unfortunately still not enforced, but rather considered as a second line of treatment, the first line of treatment being statin drugs.
Excellent point. Okay, here's what I want to do. Is there anything else you want to talk about the statin drugs before we shift gears? Because I want to take a break and come back, and I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about this article called Why Clean Eating is a Myth. And then I also want to talk about something else that was brought to my attention. I think Elisa may have emailed you as well.
The
statement about about mitochondrial leakage being the end-all and be-all of chronic fatigue. And I want to talk about that in conjunction with your thoughts, plus something that we talked about at Ancestral Health Symposium. Could we do that? Take a break first?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, so let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we've got lots more lively discussions. I can promise you, this is the Subversity Science Roundup on Superhuman Radio.
He's keeping tabs on government health agencies.
It's called the Environmental Protection Agency.
Carl Lenore.
Where is the protection? Where is the protection?
Superhuman Radio.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair. And they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters. As small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com. Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3444.
8473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. So this this next discussion was sent care of Sarah Davis on Facebook, and she sent this both to myself and Adele about an article that is being circulated around the internet right now, detailing why clean eating is a myth. And I read the article. I'm going to let you weigh in first, but I have a feeling that you and I have very similar opinions of the article. So what did you think of the article, first of all, Adele?
When I only read the headline and skimmed the first lines, I thought this would be another pro if it fits your macros article, which is not exactly my favorite style of or my recommended way of looking at your nutrition. But if you look closer, there are a couple of things I wouldn't agree with, but there are a couple of very good points the author makes. And most of them are into a very specific direction, which is against those black and white thinking in terms of nutrition, and which also goes against the notion that making a single mistake, nutritional mistake, whatever this may mean, will ruin your life. And you could only make progress and stay healthy if you eat 100% clean all the time. This is not correct, and it is also not correct that we know what 100% clean means, because this is another major argument he makes. Everybody will tell you something different about eating clean and healthy. Some will say that's obvious that this must be the paleo diet. Others will say, oh no, that's not the case. Too much tubers and carbohydrates in it. You will have to stick to Atkins. Then you get the mainstream advice to just avoid the salt and of course saturated fats. So the real issue or the real topic of the article, at least in my reading, is that the whole notion of this clean eating is overstrained and ill-defined, and the author also points out that especially we, and I include myself in this, who are people who want to make everything right and who are really watching their diets, can actually fall into a trap of trying to make everything so perfect that you end up messing up things.
Well, okay, so there are two parts of this article that I think should be addressed. The first one I want to talk about is the notion of eating clean. And as you point out, and as the author of the article points out, this is really an issue of semantics. And what I mean by that is eating clean for a vegan, eating clean for a person who's paleo, and eating clean for a person who's primal, which is very close to paleo, except that they acknowledge that dairy is okay. It's almost like religion, right? So, you know, one religious doctrine says this is the way you should live your life. And if you're living your life this way, you're living it the way God wants you to. Another religious doctrine says something else. So like the Muslims and the Jews, they don't eat pork, but the Catholics and the Christians do. So how can I say you're not living the way God wants you to? If you're following your doctrine, I'm following mine. We are. And so this is an issue of semantics. But I think that we can all agree that if we were to take all of these different eating templates and overlaid them, that we could actually say these foods are bad. And from the standpoint of they have the ability to increase health risks. Now, are they bad in a single serving one time a month? Probably not. Are they bad if you end up making them your primary staple of your diet? Probably so. So once again, it comes back down to what I said earlier, specificity. The problem with all of these messages is that people's attention spans are so short, and media has to get something out there to get people to look long enough at a story that they quite often pander. And people really do want short prescriptions. They want a Del Musa to say, yes, do this. No, don't do that. And this is where we get into trouble. There's more information, there's more detail, and then it comes down to specificity. There are some people who thrive eating dairy and some people who don't. So I think eating clean is a term that may have outlived its usefulness. I don't know what it can be replaced with, but I do think that it's lost its meaning. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah. After I read the article, I thought about my own use of the term eating clean, because I often use it in my articles as well. But my understanding, I have a certain understanding of this, and I would hope that most of the readers know what I'm meaning by this. But in the future, I will watch my words much better. And quite interestingly, only a couple of hours after I received the question on this particular article, I hit on an article in the latest issue of JAMA, or rather it's an editorial comment, which is titled A Call for an End to the Diet Debate. And there's one statement I would like to quote in the article.
Please.
It says, in the past year alone, 4 meta-analyses of diet comparison studies have been published, each summarized 13 to 24 trials. The only consistent finding among the trials is that adherence, the degree to which participants continued in the program or metabolic program goals for diet and physical activity, was most strongly associated with weight loss and improvement in disease-related outcomes. In other words, it really doesn't depend on what type of diet you're following, at least as long as you're following it and changing going away from your previous diet, which brought you into trouble, it will work.
Yeah, and again, this is unique to each person, each person's journey, and lots of variables that come into play. But exactly, and so we have to come up with a better term. I'm asking people, like, we need to come up with a better term that has greater meaning and sensitivity to what we want it to be when we talk about clean eating. I think it's eating according to my template. My template should be dictated by what works for me, and if I'm eating according to my template, then I am eating according to my, whatever you want to say, genetics, predisposition, health goals, fitness goals. Don't forget, if a bodybuilder wants to get down to a single-digit body fat, they may ingest a lot of aspartame and artificial sweeteners and artificials. And according to them, they're eating clean. We see bodybuilders all the time saying that they're eating clean, and you look at their diet, and they're consuming 30% of their diet as chemicals.
Yeah, there is even studies which consistently show that people who are constantly dieting and who are overconscious of the foods they eat often end up being micronutrient deficient, because they eat the same stuff every day, all day. And if this happens to have be deficient in one certain micronutrient, you will end up having almost none of it in your diet. And this is one of the few cases where the practice of taking the multivitamin to just be sure, to just make sure, so to say, could actually help. Otherwise, there's nothing I would suggest. But if you really restrict your diet to only a very few items, you are pretty likely that you can't get all the nutrients you actually need. And this is the problem. People think if the daily recommendation is X amount of Agent A, then I have to have it every day. But even for the water-soluble vitamins, you don't have to have your RDA in every day. You can have much more on another day and little and less on the rest of the week. And this is also something I've been thinking about in the past couple of days, because someone asked me on Facebook whether it would not be better to ingest all your fish oil supplements on 2 days of the week instead of every day. Because this is what has been shown consistently to work with fish. you do not eat, have to eat your fish every day, but you would consume more than just 2 grams of fat from fish, from a fatty fish, if you consume a whole meal with fatty fish, like a salmon, for example, you would get around 6 to 9 grams of omega-3 fatty acids in one serving.
Yeah, and this is becoming more and more of an important message. This goes hand in hand with you. You don't necessarily have to eat 5 meals a day. You don't necessarily have to take these supplements every single day. The body is not looking at things across one day. The body is looking at things across weeks, and months. The access, the accumulation, and so on and so forth of these various nutrients that we have now all agreed are important for the body. And so, and in fact, we've learned about the importance of restraining protein intake to create a greater anabolic pulse from the protein. The same is probably true of the nutrients, the vitamins, the minerals, and everything else that we are now learning are important to us. It's becoming increasingly blurry and clearer at the same time right now. But I think when we come out the other end, we're going to find out that inconsistency with certain goals in mind, inconsistency is going to prove to be the best effector. And we see this in, and just to go back to studies that we know already equivocally on humans, we know that children who suffer from idiopathic short stature, who are given one large growth hormone injection of 25 or 30 IUs in one shot once a week, respond much greater in growth than breaking that dose down and giving it to them 5 days in a row. That tells you something. It tells you that the body doesn't want the same thing every day ad infinitum.
We know what happens if this occurs with insulin. You become insensitive.
Bingo. Yeah.
Because it's really not the problem that insulin spikes. That is actually what it has to do. The problem is if it remains elevated all the time because although it's already high, it cannot clear the glucose from your bloodstream. Then you're in trouble. It's not the spike. So this actually goes back to the discussion on milk and milk protein. The insulin spike from whey protein is, and I must admit that my perspective on that has changed in the past years, is actually not really a problem. And if you look at the data, then whey is always hailed as a super protein for especially diabetic people. And why is it so? Because it increases the spike and helps to clear the glucose right away, not have it clock up on the proteins and glycate them.
Yeah. I want to take one last break because we're at time. And when we come back, I want to talk about something that has been circulated on the internet. It's comes out of the mouth of people who consider themselves gurus in health and nutrition. And that is this notion that chronic fatigue syndrome is caused by leaky mitochondria. And I want to talk about why this notion is actually somewhat incorrect, even if leaky mitochondria is occurring. And we're going to talk about that when we come back, and we'll get Adele Moose's opinion on this as well. In the meantime, go to subversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com. We'll be right back.
Electronic muscle stimulation is state-of-the-art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need. Small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial-grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultra Male RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually
work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Say my name, say my name. No one is around you. Say, baby, I love you.
Welcome back. His name is Adel Moussa. And I got to say something, and I mean this. A true statement has never been said that he is changing the landscape of health and fitness with his brain. His interpretation of research, the hard work that he puts into circulating this information, and he is a master of communications. I've never seen anybody write articles like Adel. My greatest compliment is that his ability to capture even the English colloquial terms and use them firsthand is just amazing to me for a guy who his first language is German. You know, I mean, just amazing. And you really are. We were at Ancestral Health Symposium, and so many people walked up to me and said, "Is Adel here?" And I said, "No, he's not." "Oh my God, that guy's amazing." You don't realize the impact that you've had here in the United States within this community of ancestral health / anti-aging / fitness and so on. But the mark that you're leaving is just profound. So, now you can stop blushing now.
Well, I'm trying.
Okay. Anyway, okay, so, and with that, so recently Elisa pointed out to me that one of these health gurus made a statement, and I'm always cautious about these oversimplified statements. If you want to know what causes chronic fatigue, it's mitochondrial leakage. And I'm going to let you weigh in on this first, and then I'm going to give my opinion as well. What do you think about that statement, Adel?
Well, you could say if your car broke down and it stopped working, you could say this is the result of the engine being damaged. And this is not really helpful, because what really is the cause is that before the engine was damaged, someone fueled whatever into your gas tank instead of gasoline, and therefore the engine broke down. And in the end, it's obviously correct that the leakage of mitochondria, and more generally the dysfunction of mitochondria, is the underlying mechanism which will bring about the immediate effects of feeling weak and fatigued and central fatigue syndrome. But this is not helpful in terms of finding out where it's coming from, because you still wouldn't know who has put whatever in your tank that made your engine explode and not work any longer. So this is, so to say, one step too far down the line,
right,
in the explanation of the reasons of central fatigue.
And that was actually my analogy. My analogy was also an automotive analogy. I said, you know, you come to work and your tire is flat, and somebody says, oh, the problem is the air came out of your tire. That doesn't solve your problem. You have to discover why the air keeps coming out of your tire, and you have to solve that problem. So really,
exactly, yeah.
Mitochondrial leakage, which I'm not well versed on, but sounds to me to be one of these ubiquitous statements made by people who really don't have an answer. And I'll tell you what I'm really coming to understand better. So one of the discussions that we saw at the Ancestral Health Symposium, and we will have this person on the show because it's brilliant. And, you know, we did an interview several months ago about the linkage between inflammation and depression. Well, this concept has been extrapolated out even further, and biomarkers linking both chronic inflammation and depression through two different pathways. One by the inflammatory response in the brain, changing the landscape of the brain and neurochemicals. But more importantly, this inflammatory response in the body. See, when people talk about depression, they think, I'm sad. I don't have anything to hope for. Depression is also physical. It's mechanical. You don't have the energy to move. You want to stay in bed for 8 to 10 hours. That is not completely precipitated because of your outlook on life. It actually is biomechanical changes in the body that are forcing the body to rest. Why? What does the body do when it's sick? It wants to rest. Well, chronic fatigue may actually be closer linked to inflammatory response in the body. And when chronic inflammation builds up, the body says, I'm sick. And what the body does when it's sick is it restrains caloric output and it forces the body to rest, because that is when the body heals itself. But the problem is, because these people continue to eat the wrong foods or use the wrong lifestyle tendencies, that the chronic fatigue never goes away, because the chronic inflammation never goes away. And I would suggest to you that any dysfunction in the mitochondria is more closely linked to this complete metabolic picture than just going, oh, it's the mitochondria. Just fix the mitochondria. No, you can't fix the mitochondria until you address the entire physical process. So saying to somebody, chronic fatigue, oh, you have leaky mitochondria, is actually, it's actually mean to try to simplify it to that. Oh, well, here's the problem. You have leaky mitochondria. It's much more than that. The mitochondria is leaking as a byproduct of what's going on in the body. So that's my two cents. But we're going to be doing a show that shows that chronic fatigue / depression has more to do with the inflammatory response of the body. What do you think of that?
I think it's very likely. And exactly, this is exactly a really mechanistic connection, because if your mitochondria leak, what is leaking out there is reactive oxygen specimen. Your body will react by increasing the inflammatory response, which I cannot repeat often enough, is a totally natural thing and actually intended to help. And not to do damage. That's only the downstream effect when it's getting out of control, because you're continually exposed to oxidative stress, for example. And specifically with regards to chronic fatigue syndrome, there are also studies suggesting that certain pathologies and infections can shift you into this negative downward spiral,
yes,
where you cannot really come out of it on your own. And this can really be a problem in supplements. For example, carnitine has been shown to help, acetylcarnitine especially for the brain, and propionyl carnitine for the muscular issues. also other agents. But this is pretty much like reinflating the tire all the time, or even buying a new tire and then having your neighbor pick it again.
Right.
And next you're back because you have the same flat tire, or the other tire is flat suddenly. So while it is certainly correct that that mitochondrial leakage, and especially, or more general, mitochondrial dysfunction, which also includes the inability of to recycle ADP, which is the used form of ATP, to the actual cellular energy unit ATP, that these factors are certainly the underlying cause of you feeling fatigued, but they are not brought about by chance. there is a certain age factor involved. The mitochondrial efficiency is reduced with age, but many of the people who are suffering from central fatigue syndrome are by no means in an age where you would expect this to happen,
right,
just by the regular aging process.
I want to mention something else, too, that not all people who are depressed suffer from chronic inflammation, but people who have chronic inflammation suffer from depression. And this was an interesting correlate in the discussion, because they looked at a specific population of those people who have classic depression, and they did not necessarily find this to be true. But what they did find out was, when they looked at people who had certain high markers of interleukin that are associated with inflammation, and tumor necrosis factors that are associated with inflammation, other biomarkers that are associated with inflammation, they also found that these people had changes in their muscle function, their central and peripheral nervous system, that indicates that the body is trying to downregulate motion, downregulate locomotion, downregulate the body to cause it to want to sleep. And one of the ones that we talked about was adenosine and the ATP model, which was discussed in another discussion about a circadian rhythm. Guess what? Adenosine accumulates to cause sleep load, to cause the body to want to sleep. As it accumulates in the brain, as you move more and do more, the body goes, oh, I've reached a point where I need to rest and repair. So that comes into the whole, I'm depressed, I want to sleep all day, I don't want to do anything. The body is saying, look, we have a problem. You are sick. You need to get in bed until we get better. And that is where, in my humble opinion, the chronic fatigue syndrome is going to find its real answers. So that's it. Anyway, anything else you want to talk about, Adele?
I just want to mention that, especially with respect to the figures in the first part of the discussion, where I think we've been talking about different levels of estrogen in terms of the units, because I was referring to the molecular levels in millimoles, and you were probably talking about picograms.
Right.
And so I will, as usual, post a write-up on the whole discussion we had today, tomorrow, and there will be a couple of figures and a couple of illustrations that may help the understanding. So people may want to check that out.
Excellent, excellent. Adele, thank you so much. And we're not going to tell any secrets right now, but in the very, very near future, Adele is going to be contributing yet again to this community in a wonderful way, and we're going to find out if we could talk about that on the next Subversity Science Roundup. Adele, thank you so much for being on the air today with me.
It was fun, really.
Okay. Talk to you soon, okay?
Bye.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Superhuman Radio every day, whenever you listen. I appreciate it. I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate. We met so many people at Ancestral Health. We'll talk about it tomorrow on Casual Friday. And the nice things that they said to me, I feel very undeserving of. But I just want to thank everybody who has made this show what it is. It's not me, it's you, those who listen and then carry the message to friends and family. Thank you for listening today and for always listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.